Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome, everybody, to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan, and we're back for a hopefully pleasant visit with old-time radio from the past. I guess all old-time radio would be from the past, right? So, a little redundancy. There we go. Today's program is going to be about Henry Morgan the comedian. We'll start off with an episode of the Henry Morgan program from November 19th, 1947, and it's about game shows. And guess what? We're going to have a game show following that. The game show is called Says Who, and guess who the star is? Henry Morgan. Now it's a Henry Morgan show, and the subject matter? BBC game shows.
The Henry Morgan Show?
From Hollywood, Eversharp, manufacturer of Eversharp chick injector razors and blades and famous Eversharp precision writing instruments, brings you The Henry Morgan Show, featuring Vernie Green and his orchestra and a few surprises.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. Thank you very much. You know, I came here from New York to make a movie because they said they had to film it in Hollywood. The name of the picture is So This Is New York. That's true. It's absolutely true. And I think we're going to make a sequel called So This Is Hollywood. Of course, we're going to do that in New York. This is the first picture I've ever been in, and naturally the producers wanted to know all about me, my interests, my habits, my personal life. The only thing they forgot to ask me is if I can act. They didn't ask me, so I didn't tell them. They'll find out.
Say, Henry, isn't that your friend Gerard from New York coming in?
Oh, yes. Oh, please. Please don't do that. I can't pay him a cent more. Hello, Gerard.
Hiya.
Well, what's new?
Nothing to write home about.
So?
So I don't write home.
Anyway, Gerard, you're getting a little more used to California?
Yeah.
I don't know. You still don't look like you fit here.
What do you want, a palm tree should grow out of my head?
No, what I mean is whenever I see you, you're wearing the same dark suit with a vest and a starched collar with a bow tie. Why don't you at least open your shirt?
So I did.
So?
So I froze my neck.
So you don't like it?
What's to like?
Gerard, you're just lonesome out here. You don't appreciate how beautiful it is. I'll take you for a drive and show you the Pacific Ocean.
Have you already seen an ocean?
Which one?
The Hudson.
The Hudson isn't an ocean, Gerard. It's just a little river.
Big enough for the Queen Mary. It's big enough for me.
But, Gerard, the Pacific is beautiful, especially at night when you can see the flaming sun like a ball of fire descending slowly into the water.
Eh.
I tell you, Gerard, you've never seen anything like it.
I've seen it already.
Where?
On a calendar for my plumber.
Gerard, it's not the same. You stand on the beach, the dying sun is disappearing into the cool waters, and the wind sweeps in from the ocean.
I tried it. It ain't for me.
Why not?
I froze my neck. Well, maybe I'll think it over. So long, Hank.
See you around, Gerard.
Likewise.
Hey, bud. Come here. Yeah, you with the two-tone Mackinaw and the saddle shoes. You want to know something interesting about the Eversharp chick injector razor? Come here. This here razor changes blades automatically, you know. Push-pull, click-click. You do the push-pull, it does the click-click. Well, I got a little news for you. Push-pull, click-click ain't the whole story. It also goes tinkle-tinkle. That's a fact. That's when the old blade falls on a bedroom floor. sort of real explanation of the whole deal, a real story on the Eversharp Chick Injector razor is as follows, to wit. Push, pull, click, click, tinkle, tinkle. Come here. This makes it the fastest shaving razor in the world. Also the noisiest. That's all. That's all I wanted to tell you, Buster. Thanks for hanging around. Hey, by the way, where'd you get that Mackinaw? Pardon me, just a moment. There's a little boy standing here. Do you want something, little boy?
I play the piano.
That's very nice, little boy. But we have a guest piano player coming.
What's his name?
Devon Pershing.
That's me.
No, that's I.
Oh, do you play the piano too?
Well, that's the end of the joke, little boy. Ladies and gentlemen, 12-year-old Devon Pershing will play the 12th Street Rag, one rag for each ear. Really 12. We've all heard a great deal about the programs on the British Broadcasting Company, and they're probably very interesting. But unfortunately, very few of us Americans can get those programs on our sets. I imagine, though, they're pretty similar programs to ours. So, as a public service, last year we formed an American branch of the BBC, and we did several of the shows from the Morgan British Broadcasting Company, and I do believe we're about to do another one. This is London calling in the overseas service of the BBC. Chido, this is Googie Morgan of the Devonshire Morgans on my mother's side. Hello, Mother. Bringing you another fascinating session of that enchanting interrogation program consisting of questions and answers for money entitled Take It, or If You'd Rather Not, You Needn't. At this juncture, I should like to say a word or two about one of our more notable manufacturers. This broadcast is sponsored by Frothingham & Thrip, by appointment to His Majesty, King William the Scotch, of the British Isles, and until recently of India, Emperor. Frothingham & Thrip are the makers of Mrs. Miniver tea bags. The little bag with the big string, don't you know? They do say it's quite good, really. I've never had any. My friends haven't either. The bag spoils the taste, I'm quite sure. Haven't made too much of a study of it. However, if you'd care to try some, I'm certain that Frothingham and Thripp would be terribly pleased. And now for our master of ceremonies, that engaging young chap, that witty, witty fellow. And a jolly lot of fun he is in a drawing room, too. Googie Morgan. Oh, that's me. How silly of me. Well, cheerio, everyone. We're ready for another session of Take It, or if you'd rather not, you needn't. Now, who is our first contestant this evening?
It's Sir Reginald Cantaloupe, Googie.
Cheerio, Sir Reginald.
Pip-pip, Googie.
Sir Reginald, a bit of clever banter between you and me is required here. Do you mind?
Not at all. What's the purpose?
To make you look a fool.
Oh, how wonderful. Do go on.
Tell me, are you gainfully employed, Sir Reginald?
Oh, good heavens, no. Married money, you know.
I see. Do I know your wife? Is your wife the stoutish Lady Harriet?
No, she's the skinny-ish Lady Barbara. Her family's on Wimpole Street.
Lady Barbara?
You know, the beanpole.
Oh, of course, the beanpole's at Wimpole Street. Yes, naturally. Now, tell me, what category have you chosen, Sir Reginald?
Number two.
Number two, I see. The second category is, that's entitled, Famous Prime Ministers Who've Been Hit by Cricket Balls. Very good. Now then, for one shilling, this is a question about America.
Oh, the colonies. whatever happened to them?
Haven't you read about them?
Don't have to. Married money, you know.
I see, quite. Now then, after what English nobleman was the city of Raleigh, North Carolina, named?
English nobleman? Is he living or dead?
Dead.
Pity.
Yes, I suppose he is, but he was quite famous.
Was he really?
Did you ask Sir Walter Raleigh? Pip-pip. Oh, he's done it. Excellent. You have 1 shilling, old boy. Would you care to try for 2 balls?
Oh, dear me, no. I must show this shilling to my wife. She'll be so shocked.
For heaven's sake, why?
Well, it's the first shilling I've ever earned. Won't the old beanpole be thrilled, though?
Oh, I suppose. Good luck to you. Thank you so much, Sir Reginald.
Here's our next contestant, Googie.
How do you do?
How do you do? Harold Osh kisses me, I'm Governor.
How do you do, Mr. Hotchkiss?
You can call me Harold, Governor.
Well, I hardly know you well enough.
Go on. Call me Harold or I'll punch your nose out.
Very well. Harold?
Harold. There's a H in it.
All right, Harold. Tell me, are you gainfully employed?
Heavens, no.
Married money?
Oh, God, it never your mind, how.
But you are married, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not.
I see, I think. Tell me, how did you happen to meet your wife?
Oh, God, I never your mind, how. Now, get on with it. Get on with it.
Yes, well, now, usually, first we
have... Oh, pop off. That's about a question, eh?
Oh, dear me, this has been a terrible mistake. Have you selected a category, Mr. Hotchkiss?
Hotchkiss, there's a H in it. I want number H.
Number H, I see. Who's O in the Aussie set, it's called. Dear me, whatever will I say to the boys tomorrow at tea?
Come on, get to it. I want me 64 Bob.
Very well. First question.
First question is, do you know who is the president of the Cambridge Lawn Tennis Club?
I do.
You have 1 shilling. Now, the next question, this is for Tuppence. Do you know the difference in square kilometers between the areas of Eastern Mongolia and Western Somaliland?
I do.
Just for our own edification, would you tell us the answer?
Sure. The answer is pop off. How about the next question, eh?
Very well. Now, for 4 guineas...
All right, I've had enough of your iron mighty ways. Skip the rest and get to the 64 bob question.
I know, but...
Get on with it or I'll stop on your monocle.
Very well. Now, for 64 bob...
I dare say your last call is to regret it.
What was that remark?
I said, I dare say you'll have cause to regret it.
Oh, Popple. That's telling him, eh?
That's telling him, yes. The 64 bob question. By what methods did Great Britain get its vast colonial holdings in Asia and Africa?
They got it, never mind how.
Correct. You have 64 bob. And don't leave, Mr. Oskis. Stand by for the teapot question. Now, before our next contestant appears, I'm obliged to say a word about Mrs. Miniver's tea bags, the little bag with the big string, don't you know? Sometimes, however, the string may become detached through carelessness, negligence, and sloppiness on the part of Mrs. Miniver. But no matter... Merely place the teabag between thumb and forefinger and plunge into a pot of boiling water, then squeeze. If you don't get tea, then by George, you've done it wrong. Now, our final contestant.
Googie, here is Lady Pamela Cauliflower.
Lady Pamela.
Googie!
How good of you to come, Lady Pam. And your husband, Sir Tommy, what's he doing?
Nothing much.
Really? Why not?
He's dead.
Oh. Well, you have 1 shilling. You know, everyone was quite fond of your husband.
Really? I wasn't.
Then why did you marry him?
Oh, the attraction of the sexes.
Really?
Yes. He was from Essex and I was from Sussex.
Well, you have 2 bob. Too bad about Sir Tommy, but after all, you're still quite young. How old are you?
24.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're 32, but better luck next time. So now it's time to pop off. Listen in again next week to take it, or if you'd rather not, you needn't. At one of the times or another on one or another of our stations, this is London Calling.
In view of the increasing interest expressed in the problems of child training in this country, we are delighted to have in our studio tonight one of Vienna's foremost authorities on the subject, Dr. Heinrich von Morgen. Dr. von Morgen is widely known in his native country as a leading obstetrician, pediatrician, physician, and he is the author of such outstanding works as How to Balance Your Baby's Diet on Your Head, and Your 2-Year-Old Child, Why He Should Go to Work. Dr. von Morgen will discuss briefly the care and feeding of infants. Dr. von Morgen.
Also. Well, now, feeding infants, the main thing about feeding infants is if you don't, they get starved. After all, an infant is a little baby, and someday it will grow up to be a man. Unless it's a baby elephant or something. A baby eats special things which all must be sterilized and clean. Milk and cereal and dirt and carpets and the stuff from the vacuum cleaner bag.
That, of course, is before he gets teeth. After he gets teeth, then he eats the solid foods, like nails and furniture and relatives and so forth. Sometimes a baby doesn't want to eat what you give him. A lot he knows. When this happens, if he don't like what you feed him, give him a couple of cents and let him go out and buy what he wants.
Doctor, I have here a number of questions which people would like you to answer. First, many American pedagogues put particular emphasis on the preschool developmental picture when they say most emotional conditioning takes place. What do you think?
What do I think about what?
About the question.
About what?
About the question.
Oh, what a very nice question.
Now, in a recent paper about your work, Dr. Hans von Obermeier said...
Dr. Hans von Obermeier's a bum.
But he said you are an expert of recognized excellence.
Dr. Hans von Obermeier's a bum to some people, but he's really a great man. He has a very pretty wife, too. In fact, I can't understand why such a nice girl should... What's the next question?
Well, Doctor, many people are interested in child discipline. Do you believe that parents should beat disobedient children?
No.
Why not?
When they grow up, they'll kill you.
Thank you! And good night, Dr. von Morgan.
Bernie Green, our conductor and arranger, frequently goes to the movies, but he doesn't bother watching the picture. He just listens to the music. That's just his business, you see. And he can pretty much tell what's happening just from listening to the music alone. So, let's listen to a movie that Bernie heard recently. Meatball, Goldbrick Meatball present... A 19th Century Fox release. Starring Betty Gargle and James Basin in... He Died a Bum. With Richard Moe as Joey, Robert Joey as Moe, Doris Doey as Floey, Florence Floey as Doey, and Lassie as Chloe. Gowns by Orange Adrian. Toupees by Murphy. Screenplay by Valentine Sherry, William Glickman, Harriet Stone, Maynard Gould, Alexander Salt, David Pepper, and Max Tabasco. Adapted by Valentine Sherry, William Glickman, Harriet Stone, Maynard Gould, Alexander Salt, David Pepper, and Max Tabasco. Based on an idea by... William Shakespeare. Directed by Lemuel. Produced by Lawrence B. Meatball, a big producer. No, a big producer. The girl is a waitress. And she and the hero are in her penthouse apartment. They're sitting on the piano bench together. He looks at her. She's a lovely platinum brunette. And under the spell of her beauty, his fingers pass idly over the piano keys, and he makes up a big hit. But somehow, the music sounds familiar. Suddenly, we find that there's a big symphony orchestra right behind the couch. Well... The boy loses the girl, Because the beautiful song he's written is not in her key. He is heartbroken and is torn between killing himself and writing another song. So he writes a sad song called Holiday for Tuba Modern. He pours all his anguish into music and sends his song to her. She hears it. She kills herself.
Between us, mister, doesn't that morning shave often get you pretty riled? When that happens, do you swear you're going to switch to another make of blade? Well, believe me, that's not the answer. No, sir, don't keep trying different makes of blades in your old-fashioned razor. Switch to a different and modern razor, the Eversharp Chick Injector. You'll find, just like millions of others, that the Eversharp Chick Injector outmodes, outspeeds, outshaves any razor you've ever used. It's made differently, handles differently, shaves differently. And man, what a difference your face feels. Cleaner, cooler, more refreshed. See for yourself. Just try the Eversharp Chick Injector for 1 week. What a difference. No blades to unwrap, nothing to take apart. It's the only razor with the automatic blade changer. Just push, pull, click, click. Out goes the old blade, in goes the new. It's $1.75 value. Special. Now only $1.25, complete with 20 blades.
Special. Now, only $1.25, complete with 20 blades.
For the shave of your life the rest of your life, remember, push-pull, click-click. Change blades that quick. Push-pull, click-click. That's Eversharp, chick.
People are asking more questions today than ever before and getting fewer answers. In an effort to alleviate this shortage of answers, we bring you now the man who knows everything, the Question Man. And here he is, the Question Man.
Good evening.
Our first question, sir, comes from Mrs. J.W. of Nantasket, who writes, "A friend of mine often uses the expression, 'butter wouldn't melt in his mouth.' What does she mean?"
She probably means oleomargarine.
Mrs. T.D. of Portland writes as follows, "A man I know claims that scientists have discovered definite evidence of life on the planet Mars. His brother, however, disagrees. Which brother's right?"
The Wright brothers made their first flight at Kitty Hawk.
And here's a letter from Kitty Hawk. She asks... "Should you keep a box lunch in a lunchbox?"
"No. You should remove the box lunch before eating the lunchbox. Unless the lunch contains locks, in which case you remove the lunch locks from the lunch box. That is, unless the box is locked, in which case..." Would you repeat the question, please?
Certainly, sir. The question was, what is the difference between a statesman and a politician?
A statesman is a politician who got elected.
Thank you, sir. That was the Question Man, brought to you ever so often as a public service.
For school, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, and business gifts, remember, the best gift of all is an Eversharp CA pen. Has foolproof 1948 cartridge with triple ink supply. The Eversharp CA pen, formerly $6.95, now only $3.95.
Morgan will be on this same corner in front of the cigar store again next week at the same time.
Before we get to the game show says who, here's something from Stan Freberg.
Well, you seem to enjoy our version recently of that typical soundtrack that has come galloping out of your TV sets this fall. So here then is our Western hero, Bang Gunley. Now, that is just the soundtrack. No peeking at the picture now.
Eating Corporation of America presents Bang Gunley, U.S. Marshal Field.
Morning.
Howdy.
You Bang Gunway?
That's right.
Well, let's ride on out and look over the spread.
Okay.
Through that fence, all right.
Yep. Somebody sure cut through that fence, all right.
Back to our action-packed story in just a moment, folks. But first, a word from the newest member of the Eating Corporation of America's breakfast family, Puffed Grass.
Puff grass, eat puff grass. Chock full of vitamins and chlorophyll too. Good for Flossie.
Mm.
It's good for me and you. Puff grass.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Jet Crash. I'm a test pilot. Believe you me, I couldn't break through the sound barrier every morning. If I didn't start off my day with a stomach. Full of puffed grass. $100 million cows can't be wrong. The only breakfast food containing chlorophyll, too. Yes, when us test pilots are all alone up there, pulling out of a sonic dive on the verge of blacking out, with a pull of 9 G's on our body, I can't tell you what a comfort it is to have that extra chlorophyll protection. Two. It well makes me the most popular test pilot of the annual Lockheed prom. Yes, you can spot the puffed grass eaters in any crowd. They got a green mouth.
There goes a boy with the green mouth. He's a puffed grass eater. Puffed grass!
Tune in next week for another action-packed adventure of Bang Gunley.
Bang Gunley, U.S. Marshal Field, riding east, west, north, and south. You can tell he stands for justice. by the way he draws a gun and the proud look about his green mouth.
Can you identify this voice?
As office boy, I made such a mark that they gave me the post of a junior clerk. I served the writs with a smile so bland, copied all the letters in a big round hand.
In the next half hour, you will hear the voices of some of the world's best-known personalities on radio's newest, most exciting fun game, Says Who. Yes, it's time for Says Who. And here's the star of Says Who, a man who defies the elements and practically everybody else, Henry Morgan.
I want to tell you, there's one thing I admire. It's optimism. Thank you very kindly for yours. We have an interesting panel ready to play Says Who, but before I introduce them to you, let's listen to this message.
Did you fill up the gas tank of my swept-wing Dodge?
Yes, I did. That'll be 80 cents. She didn't need no oil or nothing.
Okay, wipe off the windshield, will you?
Yeah. Hey, this is some big windshield, boy.
Yes, it's a Dodge picture window windshield.
I can't reach the middle part, right up there where it curves back. Hold my ankles and boost me out on the hood.
All right, up you go.
My, this is a big car. I still can't reach all the windshield.
Well, just walk out on the hood and finish it up.
Okay. Boy, you must be rich to own a big car like this.
Well, actually, Dodge costs less than 59 different models of the low-price field. I just got all the car I was paying for.
I forgot my squeegee.
Here it is.
Why, I could afford a Dodge.
Come on, we'll see a Dodge dealer.
Well, put up to the pump and I'll swing down.
Now let's meet our panel. An optimistic little group. First, Mr. Joey Adams.
Well, Mr. Henry Morgan.
Yes, nice to have you aboard. And Dagmar.
Hello, everybody.
Lovely to have you aboard.
Thank you.
Mr. Orson Bean.
Let's squeeze the whole show into 20 minutes, Henry.
I'm working as fast as I can. Next to Mr. Bean is Hermione Gingold.
Yes.
Can't go any faster than that. That's our panel. Panel, I know you know the rules. We play a voice which you try to identify. The listener suggesting the voice gets $15. If you don't come up with the right answer, the listener gets an additional $15. You have the voice texts on cards in front of you. Let's play Says Who. Panel, the first voice was suggested by Mr. Jim Goodrich of Carmichael, California.
La 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 found its way here.
May we have the identification of that voice, please?
Few people know that this glamorous movie star can sing. You are listening to the voice of Ava Gardner.
Ooh. Shall we play a bit
it,
of Says Who? Joey Adams, let's start with who.
What language is that?
That's just known as lyrics.
Those are no lyrics.
But
if they are lyrics, would I know who they are if I had the lyric?
Joey, on my piece of paper, it does not say whether she is singing or not. I have what you have, la da da da, and we go to Dagmar da da.
Is she about my size?
Well, honey, you mean up and down?
Well, any way you want to look at it. I mean, is she as tall as I am, or
no.
No,
this is...
As tall as Joey?
About Joey's size.
Does she know Xavier Cugat?
Now, how would I know a thing like that? Oh, I see what you're getting at. No.
She wouldn't. Is she in show business?
Yes.
Is she a singer?
No.
That's what I figured. Who is it, folks? They saw the card. Well, let's see. Is she fat?
No, dear.
She thin?
She's nicely done. And we go to Orson Bean.
Is she as anything as Dagmar?
Yes.
Oh, I have a clue. Let's see. Does she know Ricardo Montalban?
It's all right with me. I do not know who she knows.
You don't know whether or not she knows Xavier Cugat, though.
I know. She doesn't know Xavier Cugat.
This lady is not primarily a recording star.
She is not.
Is this lady primarily a film star?
She is so.
She sings good, Henry.
For a film star, yeah.
Yeah. She might record. If I had a small company, I might throw her a number or two, you know, see how it went.
Why don't you get in touch with her after we find out who it is?
I wouldn't want to go for much money, but I figure if we could make one cheap enough.
Well, while you're mercenary
in the record business,
let's go to Hermione Gingold.
Yes.
Yes. You're very amiable this evening.
This la-di-da-da, etc., it says here, is that the actual lyric, or is it because she has forgotten what the lyric is and is ad-libbing?
As a matter of fact, this girl had it on cue cards, as I recall.
Is she a great star in films?
Makes a lot of money.
Has she been in the news a lot lately?
No more than usual. And we go
I
to...
I think I know who it is, but you can guess.
Whisper to me, honey, I'll
Miss Gingold hit Mr. Bean, whose turn it isn't. It's
I'm going to hit Dagwood here, Dagmar.
What, I look like a sandwich, honey?
I would like
I'm
to
a sandwich,
say...
sandwich, folks.
I would like to say that this is the first time, if there's a first time in history... that this lady has been mistaken for a sandwich.
Thank you.
Joey?
Now, let's recapitulate.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
I'm game.
Now, let me see. She doesn't know Ricardo Montalbán and Xavier Cugat, right? She's built like me.
Oh, hardly.
So that's what you said, Dagmar said, is she like her or like me? And
no.
You said more like me.
Just in height.
Just in height?
Oh, yes.
How about in depth?
In depth, she's got it all over you, kid.
I have an answer that can turn this place into a garage right now. The girl on the screen that has not been in the news lately, she doesn't know Montalbán or Cugat, and she's about my height,
you know, if
in length, if but we, different in width, right?
If we had the time, I'd like to discuss this Montalbán with you. Well, ding dong, the question's dead.
With all those clues from Joey, I think I know the answer, but you tell it.
You gotta hope?
No.
You've lost, anyway.
All right,
because we're gonna send $30 to Jim Goodrich in Carmichael, California. That was Ava Gardner.
Really?
Yes, and now you know.
She's much shorter than me.
Joey, I've never seen her in the flesh.
Why?
She's always in Europe, that's why.
Well, I've never seen her in Europe, either.
I had a dream that I was going with Ava Gardner, but it turned out to be a lousy relationship.
Would you like to take back that word relationship? Roy E. Olson suggested this next voice. He's from San Francisco, by the way.
No one was ever more vilified than I have in the press. I have 260 cartoons in my office, in the press of this country. And when I got a little time, I read them and I have a few laughs.
May we have the identification of that voice, please?
That was the voice of the well-known president of the American Federation of Musicians, James C. Petrillo.
Let's play a little Says Who. Dagmar, you want to start?
Listen, has he got any nicknames like Poopsie or Cuddles?
How's that going?
Does he have any nicknames like Poopsie or Cuddles?
Boy, if he does, it's going to be a shock to the universe.
Well, then, he's a politician?
No, not really.
He's not. Is he a writer?
No.
Is he an actor?
No.
That's all I know.
It's like playing charades, isn't it? Let's go to Orson Bean.
This fella says he's been vilified in the press.
Yes, he did.
He really has been vilified?
Sure he's been vilified. He said he'd been vilified.
I read about a fellow was caught in the press over at the New York Times, and it was a dilemma because they didn't know if he was fit to print.
Orson, you got a million of them tonight, honey.
A million of them? I wish he'd start with one.
Yeah, me.
Go ahead, Orson, you're getting nowhere.
This fellow says he sits around and reads cartoons.
He said they're on his wall, I think. And we go to Hermione Gingold.
Is he literate, like me?
Well, he's literate, to an extent. I don't know.
He isn't
I'd rather not answer that question.
You'd rather not. Is he a columnist?
No, dear.
Oh. Would I have heard of him?
You've heard of him, and we go to Joey Adams.
Everybody's talking about him being vilified. What it means, vilified?
Reviled.
Really? I think we're better off with Vilify. This guy's been reviled, right?
Yes, they have said unkind things about him, is what he's talking
about. Well, then what is he laughing about? He says he's laughing all the time.
He laughs at the cartoons.
That are vilifying him?
Sure.
Then what is he angry about? If he's laughing at it, it amuses him, he should be very happy he's relified or vilified.
He's essentially a very happy man.
He's a happy man?
Yes.
Is he in show business?
He's connected with it.
He's not an he's connected with it?
Remotely.
Is he producer?
No.
Director?
No.
Actor?
No.
Musician?
Yes.
Does he play an instrument?
To be honest with you, he did.
He did? Is he a band leader?
No. And we go to Dagmar.
Is it Petrillo?
Yes. That sends $15 to Roy E. Olson in San Francisco, California. This next voice was suggested by Mrs. Florence Donka, I guess, or Donkey. I'm sorry, I don't like to play around with people's names, but this is spelled D-A-H-N-K-E, and this could be either one, of Mount Vernon, New York. May we have the identification of that voice, please?
You are listening to the singing voice of all-time movie queen, Gloria Swanson.
Oh. Well,
really,
anyway,
folks?
Let's play a little Says Who, Orson Bean, you start.
This lady singing about love, was that love in the old days she was singing about?
She made this record some time ago.
Was this a Bluebird record?
I can't see the label from where I'm sitting, and we go to Hermione Gingold.
Is this lady still with us?
Yes, indeed.
Is she still singing away like mad?
Possibly at home.
Oh, she doesn't perform anymore. Was she primarily known as a singer?
No.
As a film star?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, good.
Well, I sort of have a vague idea who it is. Did she have very beautiful long golden hair? And I don't mean Mary Pickford.
No, she didn't have very beautiful long golden hair.
Oh.
And it's Joey Adams' turn.
Did she have very beautiful dark short hair?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
I don't know anybody with very beautiful short dark hair that used to be a star. I just took the opposite, the antithesis.
Ah.
That's like vilify, only the opposite.
Is it?
Now, this is a star of the olden days and a silent star?
She was.
She should have been silent when she sang that song.
She'd be delighted to hear your opinion.
No, nothing against her
personally. I think she sings very well.
Well, I'll send you her record. Now, this is is she a
Joey,
talking star,
let
too?
Me suggest as a modus operandi that if you want to be rude to me. This is a nice lady. She didn't sing too bad.
Just a minute. Anytime I'm asked an opinion of a star and entertainer, I have a right to voice my opinion. This is a free country, and in a free country, we have a right to vilify anybody we please.
Where did you ever hear that?
I heard it on your show. Now, I am not vilifying this person. You're getting me loused up with this. She may be a very good friend of mine.
You're vilifying her modus operandi.
I beg your pardon.
Dagmar, it happens it's your turn, dear.
Well, could it be Laura LaPlante?
Sure it could, but it isn't.
It isn't? Did this person used to do pictures with Buster Keaton?
I don't think so.
Well, then it isn't.
That's true.
Let me see. Is it from an old the old days of movies in the silent days?
She worked in the silence. Well, oh, I beg your pardon. We didn't do terribly well with that. It's Gloria Swanson.
She's got a beautiful voice.
But since the panel did not come up with the answer, we send the original 15 plus 15, which is $30, to Mrs. Florence Donkey of Mount Vernon, Donka, probably, of Mount Vernon, New York.
Swanson. Say, you did great there with that Gloria Swanson.
Each week, we give people at home a chance to play Says Who. We play a voice, the panel asks a few questions, and you take it from there. If you think you know whose voice it is, you're asked to mail us a postcard. Let's listen to just a bit of the voice we played last week.
All you folks, huh? come gather round and listen to this tale. I just found a gal that made a tadpole kiss a whale. I know her name, I know her game, but way down south...
That was the voice of Jack Holt. The record was made in 1915 when he was starring in Westerns. The card we received with the right answer and bearing the earliest postmark belonged to Mrs. D.M. Rowland, 505 East State Street, Mascota, Illinois. Congratulations, Mrs. Rowland. Your $25 is on its way. Now, here's another chance for everybody at home to play Says Who. Listen to this voice.
My dear friend, what means a name even of a man who during his lifetime tried to show to you his love, his appreciation of your friendship, of your welcome, and of your hospitality?
We'll go to Dagmar.
Well, I'd say he's definitely from out of town.
That's true.
It sounds English.
Does it?
It did to me, really. I have never been to Europe.
It is not English with an accent like that.
Oh. Well, then do you think it could be Italian?
No.
It sounds English to me. It really does.
That's interesting.
Well, what does my voice sound like to you, then?
Your voice sounds wonderful.
Oh! Girls. I like Gloria Swanson.
Girls.
I think you're just divine. No, I really do.
Girls,
I get a big kick out of her.
Both adorable. There is not one bit
are
of
we doubt. Really, Henry?
You are.
Thank you. You have excellent taste.
That's quite true. Orson?
This fellow sounds Russian. Do you know if he's Russian?
I know if he is.
You know if he is? Yeah, he the new prizes they're getting over there. A free trip to Siberia in time for the annual famine.
Got millions of them. Millions of them. One joke more cheerful than the next.
Ain't I lucky you know if he's Russian, so I could tell that.
And Hermione, we go to you, dear.
I should say he was a Middle European, whatever that means.
Well, you're right, whatever that means.
That doesn't help me, because I don't know. He's old, middle-aged, and must have lived in this country as he thanks, I presume, America for her hospitality.
Quite true. Now, do you people at home, any of you, think you know the answer? Write it on a card with your name and address. Mail it to Says Who Contest, Post Office Box 2150, Grand Central Station, New York 17, New York. Only postcards, please, and should have them in the mail no later than midnight this Wednesday, and duplicate prizes for ties. It's Post Office Box 2150, Grand Central Station, New York 17. Let's try another mystery voice and a little Says Who. This voice was suggested by Marion Donnell of Hartford, Connecticut.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy who wanted to hunt wild animals. Naughty boy. So he ran away from home and went to the jungles of Africa.
May we have the identification of that voice, please?
That was half of the famous team of Billy Jones and Ernie Hare, better known as the Happiness Boys. You were listening to the voice of Ernie Hare.
And let's play a little old Says Who. And Dagmar, would you like to start?
Well, this man tells a cute story. I like him.
Yeah.
Besides telling stories to children, did he tell the kind of stories I'd like to listen to?
I don't know whether I should go on with this, but what kind of stories would you like to listen to?
Ones with a surprise ending.
Yes, he told me.
I would say that he's about 55 years old. I have no idea who he is.
I was wondering what the joke in was. Where was the joke in 55 years old? That doesn't sound like
no, I was trying to guess somebody's name.
Oh.
I can give the rest of the panel a clue if I say their age.
Yes,
their age.
And we go to Orson Bean.
You don't think that was right?
I think 55 is funny. I was laughing inwardly.
Thank you, darling.
I wasn't roaring, but I was chuckling. Wasn't that funny, Dag?
I didn't mean it to be funny, honey. I meant it to be intelligent.
Well, why was Morgan laughing?
Well, you know his sense of humor.
Don't drag me into your petty little squabble.
Henry, this fellow sounds like a great actor, is he?
He was an actor.
That's a great voice he's got there.
Yes, isn't it?
That voice was not made for telling kiddie stories.
True,
true. That voice was made for declaiming Shakespeare.
Hardly. And we go to Hermione Gingold.
Well, I've absolutely no idea, and I don't see how I'm going to find out. He sounded to me, and I know this can't be right, he sounded to me to be English.
Well, you're wrong again.
Yeah. Oh, now, wait a minute. Is he fat?
Not particularly. Here we go to Joey Adams.
He's not particularly fat, about 55 years old. He's not an Englishman, right?
Right.
And he's an American.
Yes.
He was in vaudeville.
At one time.
Was he ever in television?
No.
Radio?
Yes.
Was he most famous for radio?
Yes.
Was he famous for talking to kids on radio?
No.
He's living?
No.
He's not living?
No.
He used to talk to kids on radio?
No, he didn't.
Did he talk to grown-ups on radio?
Mainly.
Kids listened, they heard him.
Was he a single?
No.
He was a double.
He was part of a double act.
Part of a famous double act?
Yes.
A vaudeville team that became a radio team.
Right, and we go to Dagmar.
Amos and Andy?
No, dear, no.
I'm talking about radio. I don't think we owned a radio in Huntington, West Virginia, where I'm from in those days.
All right, then we'll go to Orson Bean. Did you have a radio, Orson?
This is part of a team.
Yes.
The Pittsburgh Pirates?
Are they famous in radio?
Well, they're a team, Henry. It's half and half. I can't
You know,
have
I'm beginning to believe that not only do you not have a million of them, I don't think you got four.
This fellow was part of a team, and he didn't talk to kiddies.
Not essentially.
Did he work late at night?
Nope.
Did he work early at night?
No.
Did he work early in the morning?
No.
Did he work in the afternoon?
I'll tell you the truth. It was 8 o'clock at night.
8 o'clock at night.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Lanny Ross.
And Hermione, darling, I know you, this is not your business.
No, I'm afraid I absolutely wouldn't know.
Yeah, I know. You were overseas at the time.
I was too young, yeah.
Well, Joey Adams.
Did they do talking and singing?
Yes.
They did gags together and they
yes.
talked to the audience. They were a very friendly team.
They didn't have an audience.
I think I know. This was my first conception of radio and entertainment. They were called the Happiness Boys.
That's right. Fine work, young man. Do you
that
remember the names
good.
Of the Happiness Boys, by the way?
Ernie Jones and something, Jones and Hare.
It was Jones and Hare, and this was Ernie Hare, the one we played.
And were they 55?
Put together, yes. Which sends $15 to Marion Donnell of Hartford, Connecticut.
He said, how do you do, everybody, how do you do?
Right.
I remember the act very well.
He just wanted to sing.
Well, that's how I remembered it, because part of the lyric was every Friday night at 8.
That's right.
Gee, that's almost before anybody's time, isn't it? But I remember it very clearly, unfortunately.
My father told me about it.
What was the name of the announcer on Little Orphan Annie? Remember what he used to say? This is Pierre André.
Mm-hmm. And what did Sandy say?
Arf.
Here is the voice you heard. This show is entirely unrehearsed and pretty silly, isn't it?
Tonight's play in the Little Theater off Times Square stars Barbara Luddy and Les Tremaine.
Say, you stayed home a lot, didn't you? All us other kids was out shooting pool.
He stayed home a little too much.
Don't tell everything you know now, Joey.
And he should have stayed home tonight.
Here's Norman the... is a man. A man's nothing but an old boy.
Well, it's perfectly evident Dagmar has a million of them. You better
Henry,
talk.
Excuse me. I'm going to run home and hear the rest of the program.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if years from now you can remember us? This is the voice you heard at the beginning of the show, and it was suggested by Mary Kennedy of Detroit, Michigan.
As office boy, I made such a mark that they gave me the post of a junior clerk. I served the writs with a smile so bland, copied all the letters in a big round hand. I copied all the letters in a hand so free that now I'm the ruler of the Queen's lobby.
May we have the identification of that voice, please?
You were listening to a sample of Gilbert and Sullivan, as done by popular comedian Danny Kaye.
You'd only tell us when you see
All right,
cards.
Let's play a little Says Who. Hermione, would you like
well,
to
darling,
start?
It's obviously someone terribly popular.
That's true.
And a very much loved person.
That's true.
Who doesn't usually sing in Gilbert and Sullivan?
Doesn't usually, no.
Ah. And is American.
Yes. And we go to Joey Adams.
He says Clark. That's an English accent. But he was doing it because of Gilbert and Sullivan?
Yeah.
Well, is he right now working in vaudeville?
No.
Nightclubs?
Nope.
Television?
Nope.
He doesn't know any of that. He's out of work.
Right.
Can't get a job.
I wouldn't say that.
He just doesn't want to work.
Yeah, he rests.
He's lazy.
No, he's tired.
He's tired? You know, he's resting so he won't get tired. Is that it?
Precisely. And with that, we go to Dagmar.
Let me ask you this. Is he known as a great lover?
No.
I felt like Earl Flynn or Arnold Stang.
There's a parlay.
I would have said a pitcher late, but I don't know if I can say it right or not. Would he go for my type?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, that's me.
Well, I mean, he's not sick or anything.
Thank you, Henry. You're a nice boy.
We go to Orson B.
Oh, yes.
I'm almost positive it's not Julius La Rosa. It's an older fellow than Julius La Rosa.
A little bit.
Is it younger than Rudy Valley?
Yep. Who isn't?
That boy is observant.
Conrad Nagel.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Conrad Nagel is older than Rudy Valley.
It's between the two of them. I know one of them is going to get the trophy. And we go to Hermione Gingold.
Is this man, has he performed in London at all?
Yes.
Oh, he has. At the Palladium?
Precisely.
Is it Tennessee Ernie? Why should it be?
Has Tennessee Ernie been at the Palladium?
Is it Danny Kaye?
Yes. Oh, yes. It sends $15 to Mary Kennedy of Detroit, Michigan. And let's listen to this message.
Meet movie star Dorothy L'Amour.
Actresses can't perform with a rotten cold, so I take Four-Way, the fastest way to stop terrible cold distress and feel better quick.
Right. Of all leading cold tablets tested, Four-Way's the fastest acting brand. In minutes, amazing Four-Way starts to relieve aches, pains, headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, overcome irregularity.
When you catch cold, remember my advice. Take Four-Way, fastest way to stop these awful cold miseries.
Four-Way, 29 cents.
Our program will continue in a moment after a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. Remember, you don't need a strong medicated shampoo to remove dandruff. Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo floats away embarrassing dandruff without harsh medication. No other product guarantees to remove dandruff with one safe, easy lathering or money back. In fact, with regular Fitch shampoos and no harsh medication, dandruff need never be a problem again. Fitch can also brighten hair up to 35% because it doesn't leave dulling film. That's Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo.
I have a feeling that we're close to the end here.
Well, Henry, I'd like to, while you're looking for your card, to, Joy was asking me earlier if I was going to make any pictures. And I am, and we've been discussing it, and I wanted to tell you about it. It's going to co-star Jane Russell, Marilyn Monroe, and myself. It's going to be called Little Women. I'd like you all to get a ticket to see it.
Well, that winds up this week's show, or I wound it up. Pardon me. Hope you enjoyed playing Says Who, and hope you can come back again next week at this time. Here to say goodnight is Joey Adams.
Gloria Swanson is my favorite actress.
And the best singer in the whole world, right? Right. Dagmar?
Good night, everybody.
Orson Bean?
And good night to your modus operandi.
Hermione Gingold?
Bonsoir.
Oh, how nice. This is Henry Morgan. Good night, everybody.
To suggest a voice for Says Who, write your name, address, and your suggested mystery voice on a postcard and mail to Says Who, CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, 22, New York. In case of duplication, the card bearing the earliest postmark will be chosen. Please remember, only postcard entries are eligible and only one entry on each postcard. If we use your suggested voice, you'll receive $15. If the panel fails to come up with the right answer, you'll receive an additional $15 as a bonus. All entries become the property of CBS Radio. Tickets for Says Who can be obtained by writing to CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, 22, New York. Says Who was created by Sidney Resnick, directed by Dick Stenter, and produced by Mike Oppenheimer for Frank Cooper Productions in cooperation with CBS Radio. The star's address is the CBS Radio Network.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.